It's Monday. A day late and a dollar short and a beat off. That's what I am.
In which order?
I missed it by one beat.
You missed it by a beat. Come on.
We were sitting in here. We were having a coffee clatch.
Yes, we were.
And then I realized, oh, I'm hearing John Williams.
That's not how it should be. Well, not for this. not for this particular stream. It should not be. Hi, everybody. This is the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Welcome aboard. Glad you're here.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Bob Hope.
Boo boo. No, that's Bing.
Oh, what's Bob Hope?
I gotta tell you.
No, oh, yeah.
There's more like that way.
I like your Bing better than your Bob.
Well, thank you. You're the third person who's told me they like.
Use that, Nick DiGilio.
Bing better. How about this house? I don't know. I think I showed you pictures of it.
I looked at the video.
There's a family out in Northern California that has decided to turn their house, make their house look like the house from the Flintstones, a much bigger version. If you'll remember, Fred and Wilma's house was very small.
Oh, yeah.
Very small. And also didn't have serviceable windows. It was just an open window.
Right.
They didn't have gilky windows back then in prehistoric times. So they would just have open windows, and I would think that they had a bug problem, but they never really focused on that on the show.
It's funny how you mentioned that, because that bothered me, too, because yeah. Dino could sometimes jump in, or if Barney locked himself out,
yes,
he could get in there. Although
Except for the classic, was it the opening or the closing, where he does get locked out and he can't get in.
Wilma!
Yeah, yeah. But you would think with a house with that many open holes in it...
Gotta tell you, Fred's not going to fit through that hole.
No, Fred's a big man.
That's why he was yelling for Wilma. Barney could have done it.
Easily. Easily.
So, yeah, that bothered me that there was no glass.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah.
It's funny.
There was so much about the Flintstones that was fake.
I know.
And we accepted it. They had cars. A friend of mine used to point out that they had a Christmas episode, and my friend always used to go, but Jesus wasn't born for many years after. Why were they celebrating Christmas in Bedrock? There were some things you just accepted.
I thought of you because I do have these weird things. Like, I can accept some things but not others.
Right.
Watching The Umbrella Academy on Netflix, I am freaked out by a talking primate, but like nothing else.
Right, everything you give into.
Yeah, but that is just too lifelike and freaky.
Well, in the Flintstones, a lot of the prehistoric animals could talk, including Dino in the first episode where Dino appeared. He could talk.
Right, but then all of a sudden it was just...
And that was it, yeah.
What happened?
I don't know.
Did he mess up his lines? And they took him away?
He also, if I remember right, had an affected, almost British-y sounding accent, didn't he? The Dino had a very, like, aristocratic sound.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, but only for that first... episode or two. It was a two-parter, so I guess you got to say two episodes. But yeah, on the Flintstones, they would have like a woolly mammoth. They would use that as a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
And you go, oh yeah, in prehistoric times, people probably used woolly mammoths, small baby woolly mammoths as a vacuum cleaner. But then other little details like the window thing, you go, well, this is ridiculous. They're going to have flies all over the Flintstone house.
I don't know why they didn't.
I liked when the Gruesomes moved in a couple doors away. That was pretty cool. That was like their version of the Addams Family.
Yeah.
I liked when they would have crossover episodes every once in a while. Like you'd have Bewitched came by to Bedrock for a while.
Oh, I remember.
Made sense.
No, it didn't.
Well, do you know why they did that?
No.
Because Hanna-Barbera was commissioned with doing the beginning of Bewitched. Remember the opening credits was a cartoon of her flying around on a broomstick and stuff? So they already had that in-house, so somebody at Hanna-Barbera said, well, we might as well throw them on the Flintstones. We got them here. So they did.
Can you say Hanna-Barbera as Bing?
Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera.
Thank you.
Ba-ba-boo.
Because every time I hear Hanna-Barbera, I think of Bing Crosby.
Yeah. He should have been their spokesperson. Next up, some Hanna-Barbera. Ba-ba-ba-boo, ba-boo.
All right, getting back to this
family
California.
Decided.
But this is like a compound.
Wealthy. Yeah, it's a big house.
It's not just the Flintstone house, as you mentioned.
Well, it's the house or a glorified version of the Flintstones house. They've turned what would normally be just a nice, normal mansion-sized house into looking like a prehistoric-type Flintstone-y house. And then they've also added gigantic dinosaurs in the yard and life-sized figures of Fred and Barney and Wilma and Betty.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wasn't it, as long as we're talking Flintstones, and I know this is off track, but I'll get back on the track. It used to bother me to no end. This will show you what a feminist I was even as a small child. If you got the Flintstones chewable vitamins, you got Fred, you got Barney, you got Bam Bam, you got Pebbles, you got the Flintmobile, but you did not get Betty or Wilma. They thought it was more important to give us a car, a prehistoric car, than the two lead women on the Flintstones. Very upsetting.
I seem to remember Wilma.
Mm-mm.
I remember Wilma.
Nope. They didn't do it. I wanted it. We switched to Chocks because of that. I said, enough of this nonsense. They can't represent women in the Flintstones chewables. I'm out. I will have a Chocks.
Oh, my God.
Because their vitamins, Chocks, were just shaped like vitamins. You got no fun with the Chocks. This is where he would slide down the giant dinosaur tail. Like, you know how I do at the end of a workday?
Yes.
I slide down the giant dinosaur tail in the hallway.
Into his car. I thought you were going to tell us the whole thing.
I can't do it beat for beat.
And you said beat for beat as he was moving his feet.
Yeah. Through the courtesy. That's the line that nobody ever understood.
The courtesy of Fred's two feet.
Because it's so fast and it's hard to decipher. Right?
Yeah. That I caught on to pretty quickly.
All right, so Dino was Fred and Wilma's pet. What was the rubble pet?
It was the cat-like thing.
What was its name? You can do this. Come on.
I want to Google it.
No Googling.
It was a saber-toothed tiger, wasn't it?
It was similar. Yeah, it was like a more fun version of a saber-toothed tiger.
Top Cat.
No, Top Cat?
I know it wasn't Top Cat.
I quit.
I can't. It was Dino, Bam Bam, and
it wasn't really a saber-toothed tiger. It was more. It was almost kangaroo-like.
Yippee!
There was a cartoon. There was a cartoon character named Yippee, but not on the Flintstones. There was Yippee Yappy and Yahooey. Remember them? They were like the Three Musketeers.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. But they couldn't put them on the Flintstones. That would be silly.
What was the
Hoppy?
Oh, damn it!
Hoppy Rubble.
Yeah. Oh, it had a last name.
I just threw that in for fun. So the neighbors of this family in Northern California, whose house looks like the Flintstones, are not pleased.
I could see that. It is pretty cool, but it would be cool for about an hour, maybe a half a day.
If that.
Yeah.
Right. Because I love that stuff, and if
you'd
the people next door
that?
To me or across the street from me, I would come by and go, this is great, but when whatever holiday is over, you're going to take this down, right? We don't want to look at this every day. And I loved stuff like that. But it would be so distracting.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. People can do with their houses what they want. Some people paint them ugly colors.
Right. The owner of the house, by the way, was once the publisher of the San Francisco Examiner. So they've got money. They've got a crazy amount of money.
Money to burn.
And you would think they would have some degree of good taste, but there's no evidence of it if you look at the Flintstones house.
Well, that doesn't depict taste. It's California, for God's sakes, if
anything
you're going to do it anywhere.
Anything goes. The house features orange and purple walls, just like in prehistoric times, with towering dinosaur sculptures and colored mushrooms dotting the lawn. It is now called the Flintstones House. It is a legendary Northern California landmark, but neighbors are calling it unsightly, spurring a legal battle with its owner in retaliation to additions to the cartoon-like property. It's very much, it's almost built like on a rolling hillside so that cars driving by can all see it, right? It's not like a residential block. The houses are more spread out.
And there are lots of trees around it.
Right. But it's hard. Your eyes gravitate toward it, which is what they want. But if you're the neighbors, you're like, you know how every year at Christmas time, there's houses that like way overdo it on the lights and the whole block gets together and go, look, we love Christmas too, but really, this is too much. except that the Flintstones house is up 24. It's always up. It's up, you know.
But it's
the
not
whole
like
year.
There's, you know, in the suburbs where we live and yes. where you live, there yes. are our houses are pretty close together.
Yes. This is spread out.
Yeah, I mean, this right. is no one. I just love the woman's name who owns it. Did you say her name?
It's Fang, right?
Florence Fang.
Florence Fang.
It just makes the story better. And they have a driveway sign, and that says Yabba Dabba Doo.
Yes, it does. It's huge. It's big. Lawyers for the town of Hillsborough filed a lawsuit against Florence Fang, who was married to Phyllis Diller for a little while, Wendy.
No, that was her husband. Fang was his first name, right?
Yeah, she just called him Fang. Yeah, because he's a vampire. Its owner, Florence Fang, in San Mateo County Superior Court over a showy outdoor decorations that include a Yabba Dabba Doo sign, what you just mentioned, and a series of dinosaur sculptures. And they're big.
Yeah.
They're not actual dinosaur size, but they're very big and noticeable.
Baby dinosaur size, maybe.
Yes.
They're pretty big.
Yes. Describing the property as a highly visible eyesore that is out of keeping with community standards. Well, sure, because all the houses don't look like they're from prehistoric times, so you have to say yes to that. Hillsborough officials are arguing that the home's additions were made without the necessary permits.
Uh-oh, that's the problem.
It's not so much the problem, but it's the technicality by which they will get them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they're saying that it's not plateaued properly for drainage and stuff like that. Little technicality. Smart move.
Nor was it like that in, you know, Bedrock.
No, not at all. Not at all. Images of the massive, although you know what they should do? You know how in Bedrock, whenever they would travel somewhere, you would see the same tree. It'd be like a tree and then like a pile of rocks and then a tree and then the same pile of rocks.
Right.
That should be like the whole area around it. It should be like, wow, it is. It's just like the Flintstones. It's the same copy. Images of the massive residence on Instagram show its brightly colored orange and purple facade situated on a lawn adorned with mushrooms, a mastodon,
yeah.
a giraffe. I don't think they had giraffes
yeah,
in prehistoric times.
They're mixing the eras.
Yeah, giraffes are more current. And, of course, dinosaurs. It says, Fang, a philanthropist who was once the publisher of the San Francisco Examiner, bought the home in 2017, according to the Chronicle, and then quickly revised the property to include a retaining wall, columns, gates, steps, a deck, and a parking area.
Why did she convert it to this? Do we know that?
I'm guessing just a huge fan. Or
that's a huge fan.
Hates her neighbors. It's a combination. You know, there's so many places where they'll put restrictions, like very careful restrictions. Like in Evanston, there's houses that have a view of the lake. So if you buy the property that's closer to the lake, they want to situate it so that you can't build higher so
yes.
that if you have the house behind it, you still have a lake view. They're
that's
very
good that they
specific.
Have that.
Yeah.
But see, this to me is not, it's not Flintstone. This orange and purple is what's really an eyesore. If
the
it was
color
more,
scheme is
yeah.
weird.
If it was more like adobe brick or, you know, sandstone.
If you look at, unless you, maybe you don't have to look at it, maybe you remember. Do you remember what the Flintstones house looked like? Now, in my head.
It was white.
It was, like a grayish slate, right?
I just feel so weird saying slate, bedrock. It's like all these things are right. real things.
Again, I know this is a side thought, but I will say it anyway. Midway through the run of the Flintstones, they switched Mr. Slates.
Yeah.
Like, they had
a
very tall. Yeah, I guess he was kind of skinny. So that guy was Mr. Slate. And then they made him a smaller, like a Barney Rubble-sized Mr. Slate.
Yeah, that was weird.
So I understand if an actor leaves a show, but when you're drawing that actor, why would you keep drawing him the same way? Why would you change the way he looked?
The cartoon guy didn't
die, or he didn't leave the show. This is ridiculous. I'll work on some other cartoon. I don't need this. I'll get work on the Jetsons. I work for Mr. Spacely. Or was Spacely Sprockets.
Didn't they have two Mr. Spaceleys, too?
No, one Mr. Spacely.
You would be the guy to know.
And who was his enemy? Who was his arch rival in business, Wendy?
I can't think of his name.
Cogswell over at Cogswell Cogs. Valuable information. I'm surprised they don't get hired to do more college lectures. Isn't that shocking?
I'm showing you a picture of the Flintstones house, and it's definitely like a white sandstone with
yeah.
a red wooden front door.
Yeah. All right, so this version that they've built in Northern California is just a hugely glorified. It's based on the same architectural style.
Sort of.
But not, more futuristic, prehistoric.
It looks more SpongeBob.
Yes.
It really it does.
Yeah, it does. But imagine having a house, a giant mansion house, that's like the real Flintstones house. It would be depressing because it's so stark.
Yeah, I guess. But this is just too much of an eyesore.
Didn't something like this happen 5 or 6 years ago with a family that made their house look like the Munsters' house?
I don't remember.
Am I remembering that right? I'm almost positive somebody redesigned their house to look like 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
I don't recall.
Which house
that.
Would you go if you... All right, so any house from TV, right. TV
Brady
history...
Bunch.
Would you go Brady Bunch?
Yeah, I love that.
Inside and out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was one of my favorite houses. I don't remember the Partridge Family house too well, but it was like okay. It wasn't anything special.
It was much less memorable than the Brady Bunch house.
Okay, so either the Brady Bunch or the middle.
That's modest. That's very small. You could pull that off.
I just laugh because it's always such a... It was such a mess.
Yeah.
Made me feel better about my cleaning. And there's another picture of the Flintstone house. That has a blue door. But I guess you could change the paint.
The cartoon Flintstone house or the one in Northern California?
This is the cartoon one.
Oh, I don't remember them having a blue door.
Do you remember their address? Oh, my God. I have stumped the panel.
No, I don't remember their address.
Brazenly whipped out a 1313 Mockingbird Lane, which everyone knows. Flintstones.
I don't remember it.
How about a street name?
No.
301 Cobblestone Way, Bedrock, Illinois, and not Illinois, just Bedrock.
Bedrock, USA.
70777.
Interesting that they needed a zip code back then.
That's true.
Because, again, zip codes didn't come about until the 60s, but in prehistoric times, according to the Flintstones anyway, they had zip codes. Wow. Wow.
Does Florence Fang have a Flintstone mobile?
That would be, wouldn't that be cool? Yes. That would get you some attention. Because if people in the area are used to it, if you drive around California in a Flintmobile, then you get new subscribers every day. New people are like, wow, somebody really loves the Flintstones. But you'd have to work it out so you wouldn't have to use the feet to break.
That's
a design flaw.
That is. And imagine how calloused Fred and Bernie's feet must have had to be. And did Wilma ever drive? How could she, with those little tiny feet, stop the car?
The only time I remember Wilma driving was the episode
oh my God.
Where she and Betty they found Fred and Barney's credit cards and they would go, charge it! And then they would run to the car and then quickly drive away. But other than that, it was usually Fred driving the Flintmobile. What was the paperboy's name?
I don't know, Bill.
Hey, Mr. Flintstone? That's how he talked.
Timmy.
No.
Jimmy.
No. They didn't have guys named Timmy and Jimmy in prehistoric times.
Pebble. No, that was the daughter, Pebbles.
That was the daughter. Arnold the Paperboy.
You're really a weirdo.
Who was the guy who worked at the quarry with them, who was also in the Water Buffalo Lodge with...
I don't know.
Joe Slate. No, wait, Joe Rockhead.
Joe Rockhead, yes, I should have known that.
Joe Rockhead. All right, we must take a break. Kim is here to do the news, and she won't
Kim,
put up with
this. Kim,
thanks
for saving
she
me.
She won't put up with this nonsense.
What are you talking about? Flintstones.
I love the Flintstones.
Oh,
I don't remember a lot
Another
of Flintstone trivia, but I did love the Flintstones.
Wasn't that the best?
Yes.
Now, in Chicago, I know you grew up in Kentucky, but do you remember who hosted the Flintstones and Friends, Wendy, every afternoon? Frasier Thomas would host
that. That would have been my guess, because really he hosted everything.
He was the official
host. It was Presto the Clown in my neck of
Presto
the woods.
Presto did?
Oh, yes.
So did they do it? Did they structure it this way? Because they would show half of an episode one day, but you wouldn't get to see the end until the next day. They did like a cliffhanger, a Flintstones cliffhanger.
No, I don't recall having to wait.
Do you know there's a Flintstones Lego set?
Yeah, it's new. It hasn't. I don't know if is it already available or about to be available. It's the house and
the car. Yeah, and the car.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm looking at it right now. Are you going to get it, Bill?
I might get it. Like, get it.
Would you build it on your own? What age is it appropriate for? Because my nephew could probably crank it out for you in 30 minutes.
It says Bill and up.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, before you do the news, Kim, I'll throw a Flintstones trivia question your way. See how you do.
I get it. Okay. I was terrible at them.
You got a couple of them.
No, I did not.
You didn't get any?
No, the paper boy. Oh, I wouldn't know that.
Arnold, the paper boy. I don't remember the other questions.
Hey, Arnold.
All right, I'll get one for you.
He had a football head.
Different cartoon.
Different cartoon. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we're going to do some news with Kim Gordon. Wait, it's a Monday. I thought you weren't here on Mondays.
I know. I'm having to switch around. I won't be here Wednesday.
Oh.
I'm switching it around this week.
All right.
Is there something
kicking it up a notch
where you can't work with us 5 days in a row?
You know,
it's a lot to take.
It is a lot to take.
Do you want a Flintstones trivia now or after the news? Do it after the news.
Let's do it. Yeah, you might need to pick me up after this news. So hit me with the Flintstones trivia.
All right. Hold on. For some inspirational music.
Okay.
Did Bublé cover this last night?
Bublé did not.
Did not?
I'm looking at the Flintstones Lego set. It's 10 and up.
Oh. My nephew can do that probably with his eyes closed in 5 minutes.
Really?
He can crank them
out.
He can crank out some Lego things like I've never seen.
I just built the giant Hogwarts castle.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen that one?
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's like listening to Kim and her grandchild talk.
Thank you. Thank you.
It wasn't really a compliment.
My nephew's done the whole town.
I've got some of that. The city?
The French cafe?
I do.
He's got the whole town.
It's really cool, isn't it?
Very cool.
Right. What does Terry think of all this?
Oh, she couldn't be more proud. She's so proud.
He's now into jigsaw puzzles, are you?
Oh, those are excellent.
He just did 1,000
pieces.
How old is your nephew?
He's 11.
Oh, that's excellent.
We just bought him one this weekend. It's all old boxes of breakfast cereals.
Oh, I know that series. We have a candy bar one.
I have to tell him.
Go to Barnes & Noble. Their puzzle section is really good. They've built up their puzzle section.
Do you want to come over and meet Dad?
Yes.
I think you guys would get along well.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right. On the Flintstones for a while, Fred and Barney had a friend from outer space, a little flying friend. What was that friend's name?
I can see him.
And who played him? What celebrity played him?
I don't know, but he was also on the Jetsons, wasn't he?
No.
He wasn't?
No.
The great.
It makes more sense to have him on the Jetsons because he's from space, but for some reason he visited prehistoric times.
Oh, my goodness. I can see him. I can see him zipping around, but I can't think of his name.
No, Alex Trebek would not accept that as an answer.
I know.
Alex Trebek would insist.
The great.
The great. What's his? Give me a letter.
It's an alliteration.
Although, I got to admit.
Yes. You gotta admit what?
I was gonna say the wrong name.
Well, there's a word. There's a word in the English language that is similar to his name.
And that's what I thought it
was. Yeah, a lot of people think that. But
Gazoo or something?
The Great Gazoo.
Very good.
Very nice. You were thinking Kazoo.
Yeah.
But it's Gazoo. And
what
celebrity played him?
That I don't know.
I should have known. Harvey Corman.
Harvey Corman. Hello, dum-dums. He would always say that to Fred and Barney when he would magically appear.
That really was a problem for me to have a spaceman. And I know there is always one thing that I can't accept.
This is fake.
I know the whole thing was fake, but that was just unnecessary.
My brother and I would watch Scooby-Doo together on Saturday mornings. And then once they added Scrappy-Doo, my brother goes, this is ridiculous. This is so fake. So for 6 years, we watched a talking dog solve crimes and mysteries, and he was fine with it.
But when Scrappy came around.
Ah, who would buy this?
I agree.
It's ridiculous.
Your brother's absolutely right. Oh, sorry. Hang on. I got to play this one thing for you.
All right.
But I have too many windows open, because that's in honor of the Flintstone house, which doesn't have any glass in their windows. All right. Here we go.
All right.
This is the great...
Okay.
Kazoo.
Almighty Kazoo, I'd like a big juicy Bronto burger. Hey, it works! How about $20? Hey, my turn. I want a beautiful new dress for my wife. Me too. I want a beautiful new dress for my wife. I'd like a gym set for Bam Bam. I'd like a new doll for Pebbles. We need some garden furniture.
I love the laugh track.
Me too.
They laugh hysterically at everything they say.
Boy, they're taking advantage of the Great Kazoo.
Yes, they are.
I thought they got just like three wishes, no?
But prehistoric times, they didn't know to limit it.
which is now approaching. An officer of the law, I believe.
You explain.
All right, that's Harvey enough. Corman.
Yes, you can tell it.
Here's one for both of you. One movie star, actually a male movie star and a female movie star, each visited the Flintstones during the show at different times. Who would the male and the female movie stars be who visited the Flintstones?
I know the female for sure.
Who would that be?
Ann Margrock.
Ann Margrock, absolutely correct.
Was it Rock Hudson?
No.
It should have been.
It
should have been for sure.
But Chris Rock also.
He wasn't around then. He's too young.
Rocky Balboa could have visited them and didn't.
Was it an Elvis type person?
No.
Was that Liberace?
No. A legitimate movie star. So it was the guy who he was parroting was a legitimate movie star, but they prehistoricized him.
Yeah.
They did a prehistoric version of him. Who would it be?
I can't remember.
Stoney Curtis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. I should have known that.
So the voice of Stoney Curtis was provided by Tony Curtis. And Tony Curtis told me, I was interviewing him, I asked him about it, and he said he found out that they were doing it, and they were too afraid to approach him to do the voice. They were just going to have a cartoon actor do the voice. And he goes, no, if you're doing me on the show, I want to do it. So he went in and did the self-parody voice of Stoney Curtis. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
That's excellent.
That is pretty good.
Do you remember, this is my favorite thing to say, do you remember Bad Luck Schleprock?
Sure.
I loved
him. Oh, wowzy, wow, wow, wow. That guy?
Yeah.
Bad Luck Schleprock.
I just thought it was
Where is he today?
Who
Jasmine,
knows?
Jasmine, get us Bad Luck Schleprock. We want him on the show.
just ignore him.
So he always had like a, there was a cloud over him, like a rain cloud.
Kind of like Eeyore a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what better way to entertain children than with suicidal cartoon characters?
Exactly.
That's perfect. Everybody would love that.
I just thought it was great because he had Schlep in the name.
That show, The Flintstones, was on in prime time when it first came out. Like, it wasn't a Saturday morning staple. It was on during the regular, 7 to 10 block.
It was?
Yeah.
Why?
Isn't that crazy? Because it was so...
Honeymooners?
Well, yeah. I mean, they totally ripped off the Honeymooners, 100%.
Is that why it was on at night, maybe, then? Just
no,
thinking?
It was just, they thought it was a cut above regular kids' cartoons, that it was fun for the whole family.
It was fun for the whole family.
Remember when you figured out that it was just the Honeymooners?
No, I hardly...
Oh, man.
You told me, like, last year.
I just...
Really?
I'm just getting this revelation right this minute.
When I was a kid one
day, I never thought about it. I'm watching it,
and I start making the comparisons, and there's so many of them, and I go... They just ripped off the Honeymooners. That's all it is the Honeymooners in prehistoric times, of course.
So who came
but
first?
Everything.
The Flintstones, then.
Right.
Chronologically,
yes. Idea-wise, no.
But idea-wise, Honeymooners first.
Bill and Wendy, your conversation about the Flintstones trivia underscores your previous conversation about the Internet's impact on memory. Way to go, Bill. I don't know how to take it.
I think it proves what I said is true. Like, yeah. I'm not Googling anything. This is just stuff I remember.
And that's sad.
I'm proud to say.
That's in your filing cabinet.
I'm more than proud to say.
He just heard himself say that out loud.
I haven't Googled anything. It's all in my head. So are the voices.
That was fantastic.
It's the Great Gazoo.
The Great Gazoo.
All right, well, the Flintstones talk was brought to you, What's Hot, What's Cold, by American Weathermaker Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
They couldn't be more proud.
This is where we like to regress, basically, on the stream of consciousness.
Exactly.
Because very frequently we talk about things we did as a kid.
I love it. It jars my memory of so many things.
Yeah.
Speaking of the internet or not.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys do anything special for St. Patrick's Day?
I did. I went to see Michael Bublé last night.
Please tell me that was great.
Wait, how does that tie into St. Patrick's Day, though?
He had on a green suit.
Oh, he did? Good. I'm glad he did.
He did.
Where was he? Where did he perform last night?
He was at Allstate.
Oh, nice.
I believe he had two. I know originally this was the only show, but then he added another show. So I don't know if the first show was Saturday night or it's tonight, but...
And it was sold out, I'm guessing.
I love him.
Sold out, packed. It was amazing. He was so kind and nice and had a beautiful voice, an amazing, huge orchestra.
He's such a throwback to the like Sinatra era.
You felt like you were in one of those old kind of clubs,
Yeah.
With a big band. And
I'm a big fan. He's got a very good sense of humor about himself.
He does. He did a lot of joking around about Chicago and...
And I already know the answer.
Picked on Brian Urlacher's hair.
Did he? What did he say?
Well, Well, it's
hysterical.
Wasn't really 100% clean. I guess I can say it on the radio.
What was it? You can say it.
Well, am I on the stream, right?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't
well,
swear.
Well, all right. So, no, I'm not swearing. But he said, you know, I don't understand it. He said, Brian Urlacher has now all this hair on his head, but I understand they take it from other places. So...
Where did that hair come
from? Something below might be freezing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Buble working
He's
blue.
He's working Buble.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-boo.
All right, wow. Bill was talking about a cover version he did, and I wonder if this is it.
Is this Stray Cats?
No, this is Buble.
But it's him doing Stray Cats, right? Is that what this is?
Spider-Man.
No, this isn't it, but this is great.
That's amazing. He didn't do that last night. I would have loved that.
Oh, I love this.
Just like flies. Look out.
Here comes the Spider-Man.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's weird.
That's outstanding.
I knew you'd like it. Oh. I thought for sure that was the cover you were thinking about.
No, he does some cover of a song that you would not equate with, well, like that, that you would go, no, Michael Bublé wouldn't cover the theme from Spider-Man. But he's got, I mean, it is. It's such a throwback to the crooners of old,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Tony Bennett and
think
Sinatra.
How would they, listen, you got your Sinatra, you got your Dean Martin, Mel Torme, sort of.
Oh, very much so, Mel Torme.
I was not a Mel Torme fan.
Maybe some Vic Damone?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess those guys are no longer with us,
right.
But you think, how is a guy with this style going to make it these days? But boy, it just works.
I mean, besides him and Harry Connick Jr.
I love Harry Connick Jr.
So Harry Connick Jr., Buble is like the new Harry Connick Jr. of a guy who's keeping
that
style alive.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And there really aren't that many others.
And he was saying he started singing in clubs when he was 16.
Buble did
and did not, you know, get picked up or get any attention for over 10 years.
Right.
He's originally from Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
And he fell in love with this music because he was very close with his grandfather, and his grandfather would play Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
and all that kind of stuff for him, and that's where he loved the music.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because the influence is it's so obvious when you hear him.
He was saying that, you know, his grandfather was a plumber, and they were super close, and he said his grandfather just died. He was in his 90s, and it was a nice, he paid tribute. I forgot which song he sang, but especially for him to pay tribute to him.
He talks a little bit about his son's illness. His son was diagnosed with a form
cancer.
Of cancer a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
as
and
a
he
baby.
Was saying that, well, last night he said it was very, very emotional for him because last night was the first night that he was ever able to perform with his wife and all of his kids present
really?
At the show. So he was really almost in tears talking about it.
Did his wife come on stage at all?
No.
Do you know who she is?
Kids. No.
His wife is a model who was in a video. You
is
know,
she Hispanic? Because he kind of did a impression of her, and it sounded like
she's from some other part of the world.
Yeah.
You know the video for "I Just Haven't Met Her Yet" or
yes.
"Just Haven't Met
no.
You Yet"?
Yes.
Where he's in a grocery store and he's fantasizing about a girl in a grocery store.
Yeah, he sang that.
That's the girl who played his girlfriend in the video became his wife.
Luisana Lopilato.
Yes, yeah. That's her. She was also on the Flintstones wedding. A couple of
seasons. It says he won like a Star Search type thing when he was 17. Like there was like a competition.
Yeah. I thought of somebody else who fits into his category. Josh Groban.
Oh.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, but to me, he's more love songs. I mean.
Yeah, a little bit more
love songs. Poppy too.
Yeah.
This is old school.
But there's still something kind of throwback about him, just the way he handles mm-hmm. himself when he entertains. It's, you know what I mean though?
Yes, but you sound silly.
Besides the fact that he has a beautiful voice and this amazing band.
Yeah.
He's very likable.
Buble
is. He just seems like a really genuine.
Yeah.
Nice person.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta see him at some point because I think
if I read the billboard correctly, he's coming back again in July.
Oh, he is.
Yes,
right,
it was
maybe
on.
July. It is then.
Yeah,
I could do Flintstones trivia with Michael Bublé, Wendy. That'll probably go deep into the night,
yeah.
Wouldn't you imagine? Yeah, that'll be fun.
But he was great. I highly and I, actually, I saw this morning when I was watching TV. He's got a concert on Wednesday night on NBC.
This
special.
He does?
Yeah.
Pre-taped. Or do they do them live?
I imagine it's
pre-taped. They might do them live. Yeah, maybe.
Know.
maybe. Well, I'm glad you liked him. Never seen him prior to this.
No, never. It was great. I only went because my 11-year-old nephew loves crooners, and that was his Hanukkah present.
Maybe he can be the next Bublé.
He could.
Does he sing?
Does he have a singing voice?
Not
really.
He could take lessons.
But he is playing the trumpet right now.
Oh, that's a start. Are you still looking up cover bands or cover songs from Bublé?
No.
Because I heard him do something about 2 weeks ago. I was saying earlier, we were talking about cover songs, and there's a channel that's on satellite that is that's all they play is cover songs.
Oh, which channel?
Some of them are great.
Crimea River.
Sirius Satellite.
I'll have to look that one number up.
I just have the...
302.
302?
Yeah, channel 302.
A lot of these are Christmassy.
No, this was not a Christmas song. But when I first heard it, I'm like, I know this song, but that's... Wait.
Moondance by Van Morrison?
Oh, it might be Moondance. It might be. No, because Moondance I would kind of expect him to do.
You would?
Yeah. But the Spider-Man...
Me and Mrs. Jones?
No, I haven't heard him do that.
Feeling Good, Nina Simone, Can't Help Falling in Love. Those are the top Bublé covers.
I'll remember it. I won't sleep until I remember it, Wendy. You'll see me very groggy for the next couple days. Give it up. I can't. I got to figure out what the cover song was. Did you do anything special for St. Patrick's Day?
I made corned beef and cabbage, which we talked about the recipe. And it's just you put everything into a foil pan, the corned beef, the potatoes, the carrots, and then you cover it with foil, 300 degrees. 3 cups of water for 3 hours. It turned out pretty perfectly. The only thing is I did it on Sunday, and as it was ready, it was time for me to leave to go see Maria Bamford.
Oh, so you didn't get to enjoy?
I did at 10 o'clock.
Oh, later
when
on?
When we got home.
It was still St. Patrick's Day. It was okay.
Yeah.
I know, but I like to eat it fresh. It had been kind of...
Sitting?
It was in the fridge.
But sometimes stuff like that, I think, is better when it sits for a while. You know, soups and sometimes...
Right.
There's certain
soups
things
for sure.
That are better...
Let
when
it
they
ruminate.
Sit for a day, yes.
Yeah.
The only thing is there are certain brands of corned beef that you get, and it comes with a little spice packet in it, like
right.
a pickling spice, I mm-hmm. guess is what it is. And the particular brand of corned beef I bought did not have that little packet, so I had to go buy my own pickling spice.
Yes.
And the pickling spice I used, made by McCormick, which all my spices are, too much clove.
Oh. Mm,
a little too sweet.
It was a little too clovey for me.
So is that like a too thick of a taste? Is that what that is? Yeah.
And maybe it was because I couldn't find pickling spices, so I looked up on the internet how to make my own, and I was going to do it. But there was just too much sweetness going in there. So I do not like these pickling spices.
I kept my streak alive of still never having had green beer, which I know it
Good
tastes.
For you.
I get
I
it that it tastes the same. I know it tastes the same, but I just think it'd be a novelty to have it once. For some reason, wherever we always go on St. Patrick's Day, and yesterday we ate at home. I forgot it was St. Patrick's Day until late at night. Something happened on TV, and I go, why are they like, oh, because it's St. Patrick's Day.
I had a green bagel.
That's close.
If you're not Irish, though, I mean, really, what's the big deal? I have a portion of me that's Irish, but I just like corned beef and cabbage, and that gives me a day to eat it.
And normally during the year, we've established this, it's just too much work. You don't want to go through the bother. But would you order it, like if you went to a restaurant and they had a full slab of every kind of sandwich in the world, is that what you would get?
I told you I drove an hour and a half round trip to get 11 City Diner Reuben, or not a Reuben, corned beef and pastrami.
Yeah.
I mean, I drove there and back.
Yeah, I guess.
2 weeks ago, and I'll do it again.
So it's worth the trip.
Yeah. Have you seen the Tribs lifts? They made a list of the best.
Yeah, Louisa Chu put together the best corned beef sandwiches.
Yeah.
And 11 City Diner's on there. Of course, Manny's is on there.
Yeah.
And Manny's is a great experience in itself.
I have to confess, have you ever been to Manny's?
Yes.
Leaves me high and dry.
Really?
Doesn't do anything for
me.
Well,
you don't like corned beef.
No.
I have never been to Manny's, but I've been to Shapiro's in Indianapolis, and I think
that's
very similar.
That's their version.
Yeah.
I've been to Manny's. It's just like an old-time delicatessen and, you know, like a cafeteria. You go up there, I'll have some latkes.
Very no frills.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like
that.
It's been there.
And do they yell at you? Because that makes, you know, that makes the whole experience even better.
No.
When they're not nice.
I don't remember being yelled at there.
They're nice at Manny's. That's nice.
There's no like Ed DeBevicky thing. There was a place, Perry's on Franklin, that I loved their corned beef. And this is the guy I told you about, Bill, who if your phone rang or he saw you talking on your phone, he'd kick you out. You couldn't order a sandwich.
Love that.
And I think Perry's on Franklin kind of closed but moved into an establishment nearby. Like it might be part of a bar now.
Oh.
But look up Perry's. That was one of the best. Manny's is good, and it's tradition.
The one thing I thought was cool, did you hear them talking about Maury's in Hyde Park? It was started by Susie Orman's dad, and that's where she learned to count money. And like, because,
really?
Yes,
seriously?
Yes, that was on the list.
And
it's
look at her
Hyde
now.
Hyde Park, it's called Maury's.
Oh,
it was started
that.
By her dad, and they're still making corned beef there.
Yeah, but you guys have like good deli up there. There's not. There used to be Stein's Deli.
No, this is Hyde Park I'm talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. In Hyde Park. Yeah.
Hyde Park, not Highland Park. Yeah, we do. Have, we have lots of delis up there.
Mm-hmm. We do not in LaGrange. And Lyons, Illinois had the Stein's Deli. You may have even gone there. Because
I've heard of it. I don't remember ever having
it. It was on Ogden Avenue next to Michael's Magic Touch, which was a strip club.
Oh, yeah.
And...
That's quite the name. I thought it was. I thought you were going to say it was a car wash.
No, Michael's Magic Touch. It was on
Why
the
didn't they combine businesses?
They should have, man.
Get your car washed at the same time.
But I just remember, you know, we're not Jewish, but I remember as a little girl, my mom used to stop in and get like a couple pounds of corned beef and some rye bread, and that would and some pickles, of course.
Oh.
And that would be our dinner, like, I don't know, every other month or something.
Is this in case Joey Bishop visited you?
No, I think my mom officially ran out of ideas, you know, sloppy joes. You can only do that so many times.
Tater tots.
Yeah. Turkey or
limit.
Pot pie,
tuna casserole, all that stuff. It's like, you know, hey, how about
exotic.
Some deli?
Yeah, why not? Kim, thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. We will not expect to see you on Wednesday.
You will not see me on Wednesday. But I'll be here tomorrow.
Tiny buble.
Tiny bubles.
All right, Bill, I hate to do this to you before we go, but you mentioned the celebrity cameos on the Flintstones.
Stoney Curtis and Marg Rock.
There was
visiting.
Ed Sully Stone. He wasn't played by Ed Sullivan, but who cared? He appeared in two great episodes.
Ed Sully Stone.
It's kind of like their version of Ed Sullivan. Rock Quarry.
Rock Quarry.
Also in season two. Quarry story stars a Rock Hudson alike.
Yep.
Who's sick of Holly Rock. And finally, good evening, I'm Alvin Brickrock, instead of Alfred Hitchcock.
I kind of remember that. That's excellent.
Sometimes listed as Alfred Brickrock, but in season two, Fred and Barney try to solve a mystery, Alfred Hitchcock style, in Alvin Brickrock Presents.
Oh my gosh. Well, whoever sent that in, thank you.
No, I looked it up.
Oh, you looked it up? Well, thank you then, Wendy.
All I want is appreciation.
You get
so,
some. You
excellent.
Definitely get some. All right, that's it for today's show, everybody.
It's been a silly one today, but welcome to the week.
We hope you liked the show. We know you enjoyed the outcome. I saw that on a Blackhawks game.
Tonight, Hawks have to. This is a must win.
You're going.
I am.
Think good thoughts.
I will.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.